Blog Talk Radio.
There's a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis. I have our co-host on the line, Brother Richard Daniel. He'll be coming on here in a few minutes to say hello and give his comments and his thoughts regarding this program. I would like to thank you once again for being a regular listener to the program. Thank you. You know, this program is about ministry, but it's also about community awareness. We want you to be able to share your thoughts and opinions about everything that's going on, not just in Dallas, but around the world here. You know, there's a lot of things going on. We got the presidential election coming up here, and then we seem to have chaos and confusion running rampantly across this great country and around the world here. And we especially thinking about the shootings that have been brought about here, the ones in Baton Rouge and ones in Minnesota and Kansas and Memphis, you know, with the with the protests, with the Black Lives Matters and the different of programs and different organizations that's pulling together. We're talking about the shooting of Freddie Gray here, amen, and all those things there, and Monroe Jackson there that was shot in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So we want to bring all those things to the forefront. But you can call in this to the show here. The number is 310-982-4126 is our call-in number, and you too can voice your opinion regarding the topics that we're going to discuss today. We had a very special program all week long on Blog Talk Radio with Granny's Place. Each week we have been praying and praying. We're going before God, petitioning on our brothers and sisters' behalf, and we're going before God and asking Him to give us some clarity, to give us an insight, to give us some peace about what's going on in this great country of ours. And so we ask you to continue that thought pattern, continue to pray for this country and pray for your family as a whole. But right now we have our co-host on the line here this morning, Brother Daniel. Hello, Brother Daniel.
Good morning, Reverend Lewis. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother. Thank you for calling in, brother, as always. You know, brother, these are some difficult times that we're facing today. We're going to have an open line this morning for anyone that just like to call in and voice their opinion of what's going on in society today. You know, I made mention of some tragedies that are happening, and none of us is in the dark on these things with the shooting in Baton Rouge and the shooting here in Dallas and in Kansas and all over this country here. So, brother, what are your thoughts and opinions on that as the phone lines are being, are they empty right now, or are we waiting on people to call in to voice their opinions?
Well, Reverend Lewis, basically, we're looking at a situation. We're trying to figure out, basically, what can we as a black race do in order to survive this trauma we've been going through in the last. So not only this year, it's been going on basically since we all been in this world, you know. It's a confrontation between black and basically it's like it's black and white. It's a situation, and with the white situation, it's the police that represents authority. And so we're trying to give our black males instructions to help them survive in order to realize that basically when you get stopped on a routine calls, basically saying like if you outside or you riding around in your car at night, if you get stopped by a police officer, basically for your survival, you know what I'm saying? Basically for your survival, basically do everything that officer demands you to do. Give him complete authority over you, because as you might not see it, you're basically, when he stops you, you are in his control. the law gives him that way of being. You know, you are in him until he releases you. So basically what I'm saying, when he stops you, do everything this officer says for you to do. Do not jump and run and move and talk back. And basically, you know, I know it's one guy on this internet that said he had his hands up, you know, but the police shot him. But basically, when you get stopped, have your hands in sight so you can be seen that you're not trying to reach for a weapon. And basically, that's what the police are basically afraid of. They're afraid of their own lives because they really don't know what you're going to encounter when you stop a person on a routine police check. Right, Reverend Lewis?
Yeah, that is so true, though, Brother Daniel. And, you know, a lot of times in society and people as a whole, young people, we're very short-tempered. We're very aggressive. And so we need to be mindful of when we are stopped by the authorities to kind of listen to them and kind of obey their instructions just for your own safety. You know, we have a court system that can work these things out. And sometimes if you talk with a sound mind, they'll let you make it.
Yeah.
It's just saying, well, example of a traffic ticket, you know.
Well, basically, you know, like a lot of your youngsters, they're real high strung, and they kind of groom to think that they are kind of, you know, you're invulnerable, you're not going to die, but basically, if you get shot with a gun, basically, there are the odds of you not making it are almost 70%. You're going to not live. You know what I'm saying? Because
right,
basically, those officers are trained basically to shoot at targets. And a lot of people say this, you know, like the main reason why they mostly shoot at the target because the target they shoot at is a black image. You know what I'm saying?
I never thought about that.
It's a black target,
you
know.
Or something.
And these officers, they are programmed and trained in order to react at certain things. You know what I'm saying? And most of them,
yeah,
basically, they're sharpshooters, man. They're sharpshooters. And when they shoot for the organs in your body that basically they're going to kill you.
Yeah. It's a kill shot to me. That's
so,
what it is.
So what I'm saying, I don't really mean today to be real, morbid today. But basically, what we're looking at today, we're looking at all this killing that's going on around in the country. And basically, we're trying to see what is the situation. What is it? Is it a black or white situation? Is it a police or over authority situation over people? Or is it a federal problem that can be resolved? How can we resolve this problem that's going on between the people of America, the black people of America? Basically, that's all who seems to be getting shot and killed. It's black people. But now, since the officers have got killed, basically it's been a 90-degree, 360-degree turn. You know what I'm saying? Nobody really looks at the black people. Now everybody's sympathizing in the police officers that have been killed. You know? It's fire, true enough, but they say black lives matter, but all lives matter. Reverend Lewis, everybody, God loves everybody. He wants nobody to get killed, kill somebody and die. You know? He wants everybody to, everybody has a zest for life. Everybody. So what I'm saying, we're trying to have a call in today. I mean, I'm asking all the callers to call in today. Basically, give your opinion and let it be limited by 5 minutes. On what do you think can help solve this trauma that's going on in America? And we're asking all the callers that's listening today to call in. Basically, when you call in, just give your opinion. We won't try to criticize you. You won't try to critique you. Basically, you just give your opinion on how you feel in it. Now, we will, for the next 15 minutes now, we're going to have this night, right? Reverend Lewis?
Yeah, we sure are. And that call-in number is 310-982-4126. The phone line is loaded up now. We have people on here say they just want to listen to what we're discussing today and maybe listen to your thoughts or comments if you call in. That number, again, is 310-982-4126. And you can call in and address your opinions and your thoughts regarding what we're discussing today about how to turn this situation around in society regarding the police shooting, how our young men seem to be under attack, how the officers seem to be under attack. But we know that's a trick of the enemy. It comes about to kill, steal, and destroy. But those that are restored, those that have been bought with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are called to strengthen our brothers. And how do we go about doing that? By giving them sound information. Brother Daniel, I like what you were saying a while ago about how we are subject to just surrender our rights over to the officer to a certain extent. We realize that we don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize ourselves, but we want to be in compliance when they ask you for your license. Give them your license. If your license is in a secure place where you have to reach for them, say, hey, my license is over here under my seat. My license is in my glove box. Let me reach over here and get my license. They ask you to get out the car. You say, okay, if it's raining and stuff, say, well, do I have to really get out? It's raining, you know. You can sit there then. You know, stuff like that. Or do I have to get out? It's dangerous. This is a dangerous thoroughfare. I feel unsafe getting out of my car. Can I just sit here? You know, we have to use sound judgments, man, to let these things come about with the proper conclusion on it, brother. Then I done been with people, and maybe you have too, that when we get pulled over by the officer, they immediately start arguing. And the police officer said, hey, you know, your friend is really getting belligerent. You know, you need to tell him to be quiet or we could take you away for your mindset or just put a resisting arrest on you. And so sometimes we escalate these our encounters with the officers. And sometimes the officers just outcome to us aggressive. So it's a two-way, it's a two-way street there.
Amen. We can go back to being men in our childhood when we were young teenagers, when we growing up, you know. And basically, we can say we were blessed, Reverend Lewis, that basically we didn't get shot or killed and do the long things we did. You know, we were living in danger. We were doing real dangerous things, basically. Yeah, but, we wasn't around all these new kind of weapons they got out today. Reverend Lewis, they got guns that shoot 100 times a minute, man, you know, and basically, that's basically what they fear, these high-powered weapons that they're on the street, that basically when they get stopped, the firepower is too great for them to order to defend their own selves. So what I'm saying is we look at it on a progressive level. You try to see that basically if I can survive a routine traffic stop, what can I do in order to not defend this officer that's stopping me? You know, am I number one? Am I, when I get stopped, am I a candidate for assassination? Maybe is it my destiny for him to stop me and shoot me? You know, am I some kind of, you know, plot for them to be prevail of, you know, I look at it like this now. A lot of people see right there, is this shooting of these police officers, was this a planned attention off of black people? You done read that before, Reverend Lewis?
No, I hadn't, Brother Daniel.
You read that?
Is it a planned attack? Yeah,
I'm saying maybe this was we have certain people, man, in certain departments and certain areas in the government that do things that ought to set out assignments and Honestly, I can't really explain it right now. It's like it's a disruption to take attention off of what has already been happening. You know what I'm saying? You do something in order to take the attention off the main subject. So like I was saying that the black people were killed. Now nobody even want to say the black people really, you know, matters. You know, well, and then the president, he got up before everybody in America. Well, but he really didn't say we all need to stop killing everybody. Not only the police officers, you need to stop killing everybody. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying, Rev Lewis? Now, if you say all lives matter, it's not only the police officers, it's my black youth, it's my women. Now, they kill women, too. They have killed women for, or women, you know? It's all lives. You know what I'm saying? We all are substitute didn't stop because, you know, you drive around at nighttime, you never know what might happen to you. You know, you get pulled over, look around, and then you look around. You make a mistake, there you are. You're dead. Now, what would happen? Who's going to get punished? Who's going to get slapped on the wrist? Don't do it no more. You know what I'm saying? But a life is something you cannot bring back. You cannot bring your life back by making a mistake. So what I'm saying, it's a serious issue that we're looking at, Reverend Lewis. You know?
And that is so true. That is so Mr. Daniel, just hold them thoughts. We have another call on the line here. Miss Reddy, she's going to come on and give her opinion and thoughts regarding what some of the things that we discussed.
Okay.
Good morning, Miss Reddy. You on the net?
Hello. How are you all?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling in there. And you said you had heard part of the conversation that was being shared with us. What is your thoughts and opinion based on what you heard? And tell us how we can get some closure on the things that's going on in the community.
Well, first and foremost, I don't really like to speak on things that's going on negative like that because that's just not myself. But I will say that I don't believe that something like that was something that was planned to take eyes off of things that's already going on. And like he said, I agree with him. You can't give a life, so why take a life? I don't feel like people should be out here taking lives because of things that's going on, because for every action there is a reaction, but you don't have to add to something that's already happened, because I don't feel like God would want us to be out here fighting and trying to be battling with people because of things that already has went on, because these people's lives we cannot get back, but we can't speak on it. We all do have a thought, so I feel like we can talk about it instead of going out and adding to the controversy, going out and adding to the negativity and speaking, trying to. I can't say that it's because a person is black because these things are happening. I can't say because these people are white because these things are happening. Yes, the truth is it has happened to a lot of these black people, but I'm trying to figure out why is it happening to these black people, and is it because of their race, or is it because of their color, or is it because of something that's merely going on in their neighborhood or that atmosphere? I don't believe that it's a color thing, period, but it may be, you know. I can't say because I'm not there at that point of time, so I don't know if it's because of their color or because of their race, and I don't like to pull the racial cord because that doesn't exist to myself. I feel like everybody is brothers and sisters in Christ, and I don't feel like a color really matters. No matter what color you are, we're all God's creations, and I don't feel like he wants us to be out here fighting or arguing over things that's going on. I think he would want us to bring more peace instead of bringing more negativity to the atmosphere. And if we're going to speak as regular human beings or as people, period, I feel like we're supposed to speak nice about the things. Even though it has got ugly and people's lives have been took, I don't feel like we need to add any more negativity to the things that's already going on because it's already happened. We can't get those lives back, but we can save some lives by not putting ourselves out on the forefront. Talk from inside your house. If you're angry, speak about it. Write about it. Tell somebody your insight, but don't go out and add to the trouble. I don't believe. That's just my thought. That's my personal opinion. I'm not God, so I can't tell y'all what to do, but I know what Reddy would do. I would not go out and I would not fight about something that's already going on, but I will speak on it.
Miss Reddy, that was very well put there, and I liked what you were saying there, because we do want to have a positive attitude on these situations. But we know that these situations do exist, but we have to govern ourselves accordingly to what's going on here. And you sound like you have a sound mind and you make rational decisions there. And you know that when we encounter these our officials, that we have to be in compliance. Do you agree with those things there?
You said when we have these officials, I'm sorry.
Yeah, when we encounter with the police or other authority, that we need to be level-headed about our encounter with them.
You need to comply with what they're saying, because they're out here doing a job and you're supposed to follow their rules. I mean, their rules might not be right for y'all at that time, but if they're not trying to harm you, then just stick to the script. If they're telling you to put your hands up, just put your hands up. You know, I don't know what they're telling you to put your hands up for. Just follow their rules and everything might go smooth. But if it don't go smooth, then somebody will live to tell about it. And like that girl that recorded that stuff when that was inside that car and she recorded that was something that really should have caught the world's eyes, that yes, that police officer should have been punished for what he done, because he took a life that didn't have to be taken. But still, I had watched television, so I don't know what went on before that in the car. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why he was there at that shooting or none of that, and I don't follow politics well, so I can't speak with y'all on that. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Oh. Right, I understand. I was just in your opinion, because you know, I wanted to make sure that we and I were on the same page, and if not, it's okay. But I like what you were saying there. Now, based on your knowledge of what's going on, what is you and your friends that y'all own a little private circle? What do y'all discuss about issues like this here? Because I want to see what people are saying about stuff like this. Do y'all ever talk about this, you and your girlfriends or guy friends, and talk about what's going on with all the police violence and the civil unrest?
I mean, a lot of our friends are upset about some of the things that's going on, and they do different things. I can't just put their business out on the street. Some of them are acting on it, some of them are not, you know. But I feel like we all sit around and we speak about it. We don't sit around, but we speak about it over the phones, and you know, we talk about it. And they don't like the things that's going on, and some of the things
right.
They feel like shouldn't go on, you know what I'm saying? And so with that being said, people are saying that they feel like racism does exist. And I mean, I know that racism does exist, because I've encountered other situations, not being like that, but I've encountered some of these things that's going on, like things that's going on with the schoolhouses and stuff like that. Stuff like that, people are not paying attention to these kind of things, because our kids and stuff still have to go to school and learn and all this here, you know what I'm saying? And it's stuff like that going on inside the schoolhouse. So I believe racism does still exist. We speak about that all the time, and I mean, it exists right upon us. And I mean, people are not paying attention to it. And even when you do come to the police and talk to them about things that's going on in your regular everyday life, it didn't even have, you know, it don't even have to be that far gone. You know, when you try to talk to them about small things that's happening, nobody pays attention, nobody does anything until something real big happens. And I don't feel like that's a good thing, you know what I'm saying, because nobody's really paying attention to the small things. Do you kind of get what I'm saying?
Right, I understand, and that's great. I wanted to
okay.
hear you say that there.
Okay, now, can I ask a question?
Okay, oh, right, Brother Daniel, okay, Brother Daniel got
okay.
something you want to say.
No, what are you considered the small things, ma'am?
Like, small things as far as, like, when kids go to school, like, people, like, the people that's teaching the kids and stuff, they say racial comments to the kids and stuff out here. And, I mean, nobody's paying attention to that. But, I mean, they going on live when people are shooting people, you know, like, big things like this does, you know, matter. Like, as far as they out here shooting and they putting on, you know, they going and standing for things like that. They people going and making rallies and stuff about people that's got shot and causing more conflict, but they're not even helping when it comes to, like, the teachers and stuff like that saying racial comments to the kids. Nobody is giving discipline to the kids.
You're saying a lot of our teachers are adding to the racial problem by downing us hard for them, but by not trying to help us.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like, it starts with the school. You know what I'm saying? With kids and stuff like that. Our kids are our future. Nobody's putting in any effort to help our kids. It's a lot of young kids that I'm seeing out here, teenagers that's getting out of hand too. Nobody's paying attention to that, but they're out here defending these old people. Like, these people, they're already causing problems. They're getting into trouble and stuff like that. They're stuff like that is happening. People are standing up for that. Nobody's still paying attention to our forefront. You kind of get what I'm saying?
So you're saying the school systems have failed some kind of way in order to teach and discipline and instructing our kids on how to grow up, right?
Yes.
You're saying that? Now, I'll tell you basically what happened. When integration came in, we started going to school around white people. Basically what happened, we used to have a system called corporal punishment where you used to go and you used to get whooped. You know what I'm saying? You would get paddled, and then they send you back to the classroom, and then you straighten you up. Now you can't even touch a child right now. You can't discipline a kid. You can send him home. He'll come back 3 days later. He'll come back and do the same thing. And basically, it starts all ever since preschool. They're all the way, time out, putting them in the classroom, putting their heads up against the wall. Basically, you're not teaching them, if you do something, you're going to get punished for it. And that's going to be serious consequences one day, because when you do something and you keep on letting them off and you keep spanking them on his hand, pretty soon he's going to be a grown man and he's going to be doing the same mindset, knowing that I can't nothing be done to me.
People should be held responsible for their actions, but I'm saying, like, you don't even have nobody that's standing. I ain't gonna say nobody, but I feel like a lot of the school systems are failing our children. That's why we have people that's acting out. People that's in their 20s and 30s are being shot and not understanding, being in places they don't supposed to be at, bucking the rules, bucking the systems because nobody is saying, hey, you're wrong. Even friends are allowing friends to do crazy stuff to each other. I mean, parents are letting children go over and beyond. I mean, it's still rules to everything. I mean, nobody's putting biblical principles in anything anymore. Even if it's not even just the biblical principles, the Bible is the rule book of life. You know what I'm saying? It's teaching you self-respect, loyalty, discipline, and things of that nature. It's talking about our everyday lives, but nobody is paying attention to it and using it and applying it. I mean, it doesn't come from just the teachers. It doesn't come from just the moms. It doesn't come from just the dads. It takes a whole village to raise people. I mean, when you see people, don't be afraid to tell them that it's wrong or that it's right. You know what I'm saying? But don't be so judgmental. Yeah, you don't have to be so judgmental, but yeah, still tell them if they're doing something wrong, don't sugarcoat it. You're supposed to be telling a person that it's wrong. You know what I'm saying? In real life, we're letting things go on that does not have to go on. And, I mean, it doesn't have to get that far. I feel like some of these police officers are so scared to where they scared for their lives. They're scared for their life. They put in positions, and they're not properly trained. You know what I'm saying? And then some that are properly trained, they're scared because they're afraid that, hey, everybody have a right to carry guns now. I don't feel like that's cool. Everybody don't even have a right state of mind to even carry guns. Why do we have to have guns? Do y'all agree with this gun stuff? Everybody have a right to carry? I don't agree with that. Why have a weapon unless you're going to go hunt?
It's the constitutional right for a person to bear arms.
I'm saying bear arms for what? Who's doing what? Is this the Western? Everybody's supposed to shoot each other? What's going on?
It was a constitutional right written up on our Constitution that it said that basically all Americans have the right to bear arms to defend themselves.
Defend themselves against who?
It was a tyrant, a person from another country. Really, it was like England. England was a tyrant at that day. But basically, it was that primitive mindset that they had, that we had to defend ourselves.
We've been having the right to defend ourselves. We've been having the right to bear arms. We've been having these rights. But why go get these guns if nobody's causing you problems, or if you're not going to go shoot something for food? You're not doing nothing that's essential for daily life activities. You're not going out and trying to do something positive with these guns. Why are you having those guns? You kind of get what I'm saying?
Basically, if I would look at it, I would suggest that all our Texas people the people in Texas, go out and start a petition and let people start signing. And we have that's what everything they understand is making a law. Either you're going to rally against it or you're going to petition against it. So basically, we had somebody who started a petition to say this basically stopped that law that they voted in, because it basically it had created a monster, man. Well, you know, like when them guys, the police officers got shot, it was three people down there that had guns on their shoulders. They had assault rifles on their shoulders. And basically, they were fearful for their lives, and they basically surrendered their arms to the police officer because they know they will be suspected, because the first thing he saw was a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, those guys, they stopped. They posted their pictures all around the country saying they was a suspect. And this man said, I didn't do nothing, man. You know? And then basically, they took him downtown. They questioned him. And then once they found out he wasn't the man that did it, he said he wouldn't give him an apology and say they were sorry. I made a mistake. So what I'm saying is there got to be some kind of sanity in this thing. You know, basically, like I'm saying, if we would get somebody to start a national petition to eradicate that law that they voted in Texas, basically, if it's in Texas, I look at it one day, it'd be all around the country. Everybody have guns everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And it would be just like the Wild West again. Basically, it's going to be like that. You either shoot, go for it, draw, you know.
Is that the way?
And you see what happened. You see what happened in those days. What happened? It was people dying everywhere.
You're right.
What do you think, Brother Reverend Lewis?
I think you both are onto something now. Now, I was just thinking of, Ms. Reddy, you said some things that I was just reflecting on and pondering, as you said, why is everybody carrying these guns? You know, I think it's a terrible situation where we have to feel like that we need to arm ourselves. And people have a perceived notion of something that drastically going to happen. Someone is putting it in the atmosphere, as you said, speak these things that they're making people think they need to have these weapons. Some people don't really need a gun. Some people are so short-tempered that if they had any type of weapon, they'll use it right away. And that's the conflict, and that's what's going on with society. Everybody wants to take matters into their own hands. And, Ms. Red, I believe that you're a praying woman. I believe that you go before God as often as possible in the way that you know how, and you petition for yourself and your family and your loved ones to God to put an end to this here. Ms. Red, I want to thank you for calling in. We open to play a part of our last week program, because we did a prayer service all week long, because this is a Christian internet program. So we had a prayer a vigil each week, and I want to play a portion of that. And I want you to listen in on it and get some conclusion and know that we have people that are praying. I know that you're praying too. So I'd like you to join, lend your prayer along to our prayer. We're going to pray that God work this thing out. He's going to use his people for his purpose, and that's to love and care for one another and to help and guide each other. You know, the scripture said for iron sharpened iron. That means that when I'm encouraged and strengthened, I'm going to encourage and strengthen you. And in turn, you're going to do it for someone else. And we are here each and every week, and I ask you to call in as often as possible, listen to our program, and get an insight on what God is up to. And thank you very much. And I want you to hold on, and we're going to play a part of
Thank you for your comments, too, and
so we'd like you to just be a part of what we're doing. And thank you for all your comments. And next voice you hear will be a pre-recorded show program from last night.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm on tonight to come and share it with the people of God, of course. As you know, it is always my privilege, amen, to share the word of God with anyone.
God bless you.
And so it's just greatly just exciting to be able to do so. And so, again, I'm not sure if we just jump right into it, where we are right now. Let's get. I want to share something, amen, what we highlighted on earlier this week as it related to vision. We had been sharing some during our call during the week concerning vision, in which we had used blind Bartimaeus as a backdrop. And of course, another word for blindness is visionless. And so we were being creative with our thinking process and allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate, amen, for us, that story between Bartimaeus and Mark chapter 10, where Bartimaeus sat on the roadside and he was begging, and he was blind. and his condition, amen, gave him the right, the privilege, amen, to beg or be in the occupation, I should say, that he was in as a beggar. One was because he was on the road of Jericho, and that Jericho road was a very long road in which there were many beggars that was there. And, again, the road was designed for transition. It was planned for mobilization and going forward and moving on. But, however, he's in a place of transition, and he's stagnant. And, therefore, in the place of the transition, he's begging. And he's begging again because he is blind. But he heard one day that Jesus was passing by, and no doubt he had heard that how he had been opening blinded eyes, and he began to cry out. Now, his cry was different from any of the other people or participants that joined themselves on the road, because, again, there were many people that had been on the road, but he was the one that actually did something different. He changed positions. He changed postures. And he had to do so because he wanted his vision, wanted to sight. Matter of fact, he admitted once Jesus asked him, what does he want him to do for him? He said, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. And he received his sight, of course, after throwing aside his cloak. And the Bible says, as he threw aside his cloak, that Jesus answered him and said to him, and what do you want me to do for you? Now, of course, you don't answer anything that had not been spoken to you. And so when he threw his cloak, he was literally speaking, he was literally sharing and communicating his faith, which actually opened up an opportunity for him to receive vision. And I believe that in such a time like this, that we need, amen, some people that are willing to change positions strategically, take a chance and step out and do something differently. Amen. And again, this is why this call is in this medium that we have tonight is so wonderful, because we get a chance to witness the works of somebody somewhere, amen, that was willing to step out and do something a little different. Amen. And so we're blessed tonight. I want to share something with you tonight out of Habakkuk. Amen. If we can just look at Habakkuk really quick. Habakkuk. Chapter 2, I believe it is, where we want to go tonight. Habakkuk chapter 2, and which is actually very familiar, and I want to start from there, share from there on tonight. And so Habakkuk chapter 2, in verse number 1, I believe it is, where we want to start our reading. Amen. Habakkuk 2, verse number 1, it says, I will stand upon my watch and set up and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. And what I will say, what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it surely will come. It will not tarry. It will not tarry, but it shall surely come. And again, he's sharing this vision that is for an appointed time, a select time, a designated time in the earth. And in the earth, we understand that there is a time for every purpose. According to the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time for every purpose, and there's the manifestation of vision, amen, for every time. And so when we deal with the word purpose, is the word purpose is the word prothesis, and that it literally means the thing that it's set before. It's translated from the word showbread that is used in the Old Testament, in which David, who was King David, ate from while going into the tabernacle. He ate of the showbread. And when he was eating of the showbread, he was eating of the bread that had been set before. The bread that was set it in a specific place where the priest would eat and therefore go into the presence of God. It was a symbolic revelation of the manner in which they would receive of the supernatural provision of God in the wilderness. But yet these priests in the Old Testament would make this bread, and David himself, being the king, would go in and he would eat this bread. Now, it was illegal for him to eat the bread because the bread was for priests. But yet he wanted a part of purpose, amen, and he was willing to take a chance and do what somebody else wasn't willing to do. that word bread that's used for the showbread there, it is actually the same word that's used in Romans chapter 8, where he says, all things work together for the good of them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. His purpose, that word purpose there, is the same word that is used for bread. It is the showbread, or it is the prothesis, or the bread that was set before. He says that all things will work together for those that are called according to his purpose, because his purpose that already been accomplished, amen.
All right, I pray you enjoyed that portion of our Bible study program from Pastor Carter out of California. That he was giving us a short Bible study, telling us about purpose here. Purpose, you know, the reason things going on, there's a purpose behind everything that we do. There's a purpose behind what Jesus is doing in our life here. I want to continue this this program with our Tuesday night prayer service also. This is a part of what we've been doing all week long. We've been going before God, petitioning on the behalf of the people here. And this is a part of a program that we put together Tuesday regarding our prayer service. Amen.
Download the Just For You app to your smartphone for savings.
And so we ask you to just hold on and just be patient and let God work his purpose out in our lives. Amen. So the next voice you'll hear will be part of our program from Tuesday night. Amen. And the phone lines are lighting up right now. People say they're enjoying the program and they want to be a part of what God is doing. And so we're going to ask you to continue to honor God in everything that we do. Amen.
Oh, God, this next generation needs you. God, you said that in the last days, you shall pour out your spirit upon all flesh. You said that the young people shall prophesy. And God, the young people need you like never before. For the enemy is on attack. So now, God, I pray against all type of gun violence. I pray against the shooting that's in our schools. I pray against suicidal thoughts.
My people to call by my name will humble themselves. Amen. So it's prayer time. It's prayer time. So we're going before God in the most humble way we know. We're going to lift up his holy name.
But it will be unexplainable. In the name of Jesus. God, I declare right now that we, your young people, we will present ourselves as sacrifices. Our lives are in your hands. We make the choice. We make the vow right now that, God, we will not give in to peer pressure. We will not give in, God, to suicidal thoughts. We will not give in until what the enemy has to offer. We will not give in until the plans of the enemy. But God, we stand and we say we will be holy. We will keep our bodies pure. We will keep our bodies pure. We'll keep our minds pure. In the name of Jesus, we will not give in to drugs. We will not give in to drinking. We will not give in to smoking. But God, we will stand for holiness. We will stand for what's right. So God, we cry out, purify us, Lord. Purify us, Lord. Sanctify us. Cleanse us, God. We want to be holy. We want to be like you, Lord. We want to be like you, Lord. We cry out today. We give ourselves to you. Our lives are in your hand. Our lives are in your hand. Oh, God, for we believe you're raising up some planet shakers. You're raising up some demon slayers. You're raising up some Satan defeaters. And God, we stand right now and we say we will be the one. We will be the one that will show the enemy that he is a liar. He will not have all the young people. He will not have our minds. We will be the one. We will be the example. We will be the chosen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. people right there where you are, just lift up your hands and begin to tell God, God, I will be the one. God, I will be the one. He just want to know if he can have a willing vessel. He just want to know if he have a willing vessel that will stand up and declare to this nation, that will stand up and declare to this world that God is real. God is real. I will be the one. I will be the one. Yeah, Jesus.
My Lord, my Lord. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. It's prayer time. It's time to go before God with thanksgiving in our heart and praise on our lips, thanking him for being Lord and Savior. In times like these, here, where we'll bend usher to the throne of grace and mercy, as we look over the landscape here, we see how the enemy seem to be running amok. But we that are strong in the Lord and the power of his might, we know that we have the weapons to defeat the enemy. The weapon is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. As we look over the landscape, we see how destruction and disaster and turmoil is running and running and running. And sometimes we get confused and we lose hope. But God is able. We want to lift up various parts of our country here today and just pray for them. The ones that's in Baton Rouge, yeah, for the shooting and the killing and the chaos. We want to pray for that city. We want to pray for that state. Amen. We want to pray for the young man, Monroe Jackson, that was killed there. We want to pray for the police officers that was killed in Monroe, Louisiana. Also, we want to pray for the ones that's in Dallas, the five officers that were there, that was shot. And the young man that was shot, there's the enemy is grabbing people by the rings of their mind. But glory be to God. We want to lift up the ones in Minnesota also, you know, for the shooting and the killing in Kansas City. Amen. And we want to pray for those officers. We want to pray for those men that have been slain by officers. Amen. The one that's in Memphis still, Lord. We want to lift them up. Precious and Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving. Dear Lord, as we come to you and bend the knees, thanking you, dear Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thanking you, dear Lord. Thanking you. Lord, we realize, dear Lord, that a lot of things are going on, but you are able. You are able. And we know that you are. Dear Lord, we pray for our city as a whole, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that the enemy takes his hands off our city, off our young men and women, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, for the mindsets of our young people, dear Lord, that they come to the realization that you are Lord, that you are God, that there is no other, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, precious Lord our God, as different organizations and programs are coming about, we ask you to be in the midst of it. In the name of Jesus, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to intervene on their behalf. We come before you, dear Lord, with humbleness and thanksgiving in our heart. We pray for those that are lost, for those that are confused, for those that are without hope, dear Lord, for we know that you are a way maker. Precious Lord, our God, as we wrestle with these situations, let us realize, dear Lord, that you are able. Precious Lord, we lift up our city officials, dear Lord. We ask you to be with them. We ask you to give them wisdom in such a time as this. We ask them for the protesters to have wisdom in such a time. We ask every man, woman, boy, and girl, seek your faith, Lord, seek advice from the truth and living Savior. In the name of Jesus, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things, dear Lord. Lord, we lift up our country in such a time as the election for president is coming about, dear Lord. Lord, we know, dear Lord, that precious Lord, so
bring on whatever, ever you make all things work together.
All things is better. Allow them to know, dear Lord, that they are useful to their family in the kingdom and play these things, dear Lord. Precious Lord, we pray for those, dear Lord, that don't have a job right now. We pray for financial breakthrough. We pray that you give them the resources they need in such a time as this.
You are here with me, and you never leave.
they keep reminding me how I don't believe.
The Heavenly Father, we coming to you right now, God. Thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness, God. God, we coming to you right now, God. You see the state that this nation is in, God. You see the condition, God, the natural and the spiritual condition, God, of this nation, God. God, we coming to you right now, God. First, God, ask God to forgive us, God. There's anything that's unlike you that's in us, God. Anything that we have done or said, God, if we have not displayed ourselves the way that you desire us to, God, forgive us, God. And God, we ask you to forgive us, God, and make us whole, God. Help us, God, to better represent you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we know that we have strayed away from you, God, and we ask, God, to forgive us, God. Help us, God, to be the men and ladies that you call for us to be, God, not just individually, God, but, Lord, even as a nation, God. God, we ask you to help us, God, to better represent you, God. Help us, God, to have you, God, at the center, God, of this nation right now, God. Help us, God, to glorify you. Help us, God, to exemplify, God, your character, God, your nature, God. Instead of buying everything you stand for, buying every problem, buying every confusion, we bind everything you stand for right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, even for what's going on, God. There's some good that's going to come out of it, God. And God, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're going to do. And God, we speaking, God, that you touch the bereaved family right now, God. God, let them know, God, that you're there for them. You're there to comfort them right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And we give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise, and we thank you for unity, God. Unity with you, God, and also unity with each other right now, God. And we give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Blend our prayer in along with yours, Christian Heavenly Father. We petition heaven, dear Lord, with a humble heart, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Dear Lord, we ask you to reach out, dear Lord, and touch us, dear Lord. For touch us, dear Lord. Breathe on us, dear Lord, from the north and south and east and west, dear Lord. Let your glory and your power reign, dear Lord, from the rising of the sun to the going out of the sun. We need you, Lord. We can't do this thing alone. We need you, Lord. We need you. Lord, we ask you to interject yourself in your people's life, dear Lord. Let us not be able to do anything apart from God, dear Lord. Build us up, strengthen us, encourage us, dear Lord. Dear Lord, give us back, dear Lord, the joy that the enemy attempts to steal in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Precious Lord, our God, we have a phone line that's opening up, and we're going to have someone else to pray for us. They have a desire. Good morning. Hello, caller. Would you like to pray for us?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Would you like to go ahead and enter prayer with us?
Oh, yes.
Go right ahead.
Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne tonight, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus, Father God. Father God, we come tonight just letting you know that we love you, Father God. And Father God, we ask that you intervene where things are going in this world today, Father God. Father God, right here in Dallas, Texas, Lord, I pray for peace and love between all communities. And Father God, in your eyesight, all lives matter. So Father God, I pray, Lord, that you bring peace upon us, Lord, that we come together in unity to look out for one another, to help one another. And Father God, I pray for a great revival to come through, that people might realize they need a Savior and get saved. And Father, I just pray for the police departments everywhere. Father God, Lord, you know justice. You let justice be done, Father God. It's not up to us, but it's up to you. We just thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I just want to say, Lord, just reach out. Reach out, Lord God, and touch hearts and people, no matter the color of the skin, Father, that we come together and be one and love each other. The scriptures say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Now we have Ms. Vera on the line. She's going to petition heaven.
Heavenly Father, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for letting us see another day, one that we've never seen before. And Father God, I just want to just touch the heart of the people, Father, that were suffering, for the five police officers, and also the people that had killed, the officers that killed the people innocently. But Lord, you know all things because you search the heart. Father God, I just need you just to touch, Father, each and every one of them, and let them know that you're still here, Father. Although things may change, days may change, people may change, but you never change. Father God, let them know you're still here, Father. You're still looking out for them, Father. You're still God, and besides you, there is no other. Father God, touch their life. Touch their family life, Father. Let them know that you're the strength that they need to lean on. Father God, and please, Father, don't let the devil steal each and every people's mind, running to and fro trying to see who he can devour. Father God, because you is in the midst of it, Father. You sent your son, Father, to die for our sins, Father, not to have the devil run through here and poison the people's minds. Father God, please, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father God, please touch their heart. Let them know that you, Father, is God, and you still love them, Father, regardless of what they think. Father, it's not about who is on the YouTube or who is on the Internet. Father God, you know there's no two wrongs. Don't make a right. Everything, Father, that you touch, as you say, Father God, touch their life. Let them know that you are here for them, not the devil, not looking and seeing who all people this is, because we know there's two sides to a story. Father God, touch their hearts and change it, Father. Father God, let them know that you're still here for them. Lord, I just feel that this is going too far, Father. I just need you, Father, just to come and let them know that you love them. Love, Father. Love to stay. Love never dies. And you gave your only begotten Son. Father God, you say, there'll be no word. But two or three gathered together, there you will be in the midst. Of all these people that's praying, Father, I know you're in the midst right now, Father. Touch us, Father. Touch them, Father. Let them know you're still here for them. Let them know you love them. It's you, Father. You, and besides you, there is no other. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, pray.
In the name of Jesus, God bless you. God bless you. Petitioning heaven on behalf of those that seen the lost hope there. Petitioning heaven and asking God to intervene on our behalf. The phone lines are lit up here, and people say they are praying, they are praying. They're in their secret room, they're in their closet, they're praying. And the word tells us to continue to pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive them of their sin, and I will heal the land. God, we ask for a healing, dear Lord. We ask for a healing, dear Lord, from the north to south and east to west, dear Lord. Send us a healing, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, for those brothers and sisters that's under the bridge, dear Lord, that don't have a place to lay their head, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, for a healing, dear Lord. in the name of Jesus. We pray that they find comfort, dear Lord, in the middle of the night, dear Lord, that you speak to them, dear Lord, through your Holy Spirit, and you let them know, dear Lord, that you love them, dear Lord, that you put a hedge of protection around those men and women and those boys and girls, dear Lord, that's living on the street, dear Lord, and let them know that you love them, dear Lord. Let them know, dear Lord, that you will never leave them nor forsake them. We lift up our brothers and our sisters that's incarcerated, dear Lord, downtown Dallas, the one that's in the jailhouse at the North Tower, dear Lord. We pray for that, for every floor, dear Lord, from the first floor all the way to the ninth floor, dear Lord. We pray for those men, dear Lord, that's in solitary confinement, that seem to be locked out, Lord, but you had a key to open up every door in the name of Jesus, dear Lord. We pray for those brothers, dear Lord, that's in the psych ward, dear Lord. We pray that you grab them by the rings of their minds, dear Lord, and you let them know that there is a God in the name of Jesus, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we pray for those brothers that are going to court tomorrow, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that you show them favor, dear Lord. Not the favor, dear Lord, that they can take for granted, but the favor they know if it had not been for God on my side, what would I do? Dear Lord, we ask you, dear Lord, to sit them before a righteous judge, dear Lord, for we know, dear Lord, that we have unjust judges that are sitting. There's one judge, our Lord and Savior, dear Lord, but we know that you have all power in your hand. Nothing goes before you unless you first ordain it in the name of Jesus, dear Lord. We pray for those, dear Lord, that already been to court, that the verdict have been rendered, dear Lord, and families' lives have been shattered. We pray for those mothers, dear Lord, that is crying on their bed of affliction for their son, dear Lord, that they've done the best they can and that son has gone astray. We pray for that daughter, dear Lord, that has walked out the house, dear Lord, and no one knows where she is, and she's just living to and fro, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that you keep her safe, dear Lord, and grab her by the rings of her mind, dear Lord, and allow her to be able to come back to the family, dear Lord, for we know that there's nothing too hard for God. Precious Lord, our God, we pray for those, dear Lord, that is on their way to Huntsville, that are on their way to the prisons, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that you let them know, dear Lord, that you're a company keeper. You give them a word, dear Lord, a rhema word to keep them, dear Lord, and let them make good use of their time, dear Lord. But we know that you are restored, dear Lord. You have no respect of person. For what you've done for one, you'll do for another. In the name of Jesus. Precious Lord, our God, we pray for our juveniles, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for listening to this program. We're wrapping up this segment of Free on the Inside. And we want you to have that freedom that comes from on high. You have heard part of our last week's show where we went before God in prayer. That was Tuesday night. Our last episode was Tuesday night as we had a prayer vigil. And we've been praying every day this week on the internet for our land, our country, our community, for our brothers and sisters, and for ourselves. And we want to ask you to continue to pray for yourself and your loved ones. Pray that God makes a difference. You know, God is up to something, and you're a part of that there. We want to thank you for calling in. The phone lines are lit up. We want to thank Ms. Reddy for lending her voice to the program here. We want to thank Brother Daniel for coming on and sharing his take on what's going on here. And as we get ready to get out of here, we're going to bring Brother Daniel back in, and he's going to close us out in a word of prayer. Amen. And I ask you to come back next week and listen to another great episode of Free on the Inside with Brother Daniel here. And we also want to make mention of Pastor Carter out of California. He did a Bible study Friday night. You heard part of that there. So come back, and continue to hear from the men and women of God concerning things that we are facing, to give you some closure, give you some comfort, give you some assurance that God is steady, present, and on the throne. Brother Daniel?
Reverend Lewis.
Yes. Miss Reddy?
Can I share something with you real quick?
You sure can. Go right ahead.
I wanted to share 1 Peter 2nd chapter 1 through 3. It says, so get rid of every kind of evil, every kind of deception, hypocrisy, jealousy, and every kind of slander. Desire God's pure word as newborn babies desire milk. Then you will grow in your salvation. Certainly you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Amen. God bless you. That's a great scripture to close out on. Again, what was that scripture?
1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3.
All right, amen. We'll add that to our daily reading. And God bless you, though, Ms. Red. Please tune in again at your convenience. We're here every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. We have great shows, and we'll love for you to lend your voice to our program.
Thank you.
Amen. And as we get ready to get out, close out here, we're going to have a word of prayer. And looking forward to you joining us again next week. All our listening audience, we have the phone line lit up. This program goes around the world. And so it's on 24/7, so you can go back and listen to it on Blog Talk Radio, free on the inside. We're on the net. Granny's Place Ministry is sponsoring this program. We encourage you to go to granny'splaceministry.org website and see what we're doing. We're involved in juvenile ministry, jail ministry, street ministry, and also we adopted an apartment unit in the Mesquite area called Creek Villa Apartments in Mesquite, so we ask you to look and see what we're doing and be a part of what we're doing. Amen. God have need of you. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning program. We thank you, dear Lord, for the mindset of your people, dear Lord, that want to hear from you and not only want to hear but want to apply it in their life, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for all of people that call in, dear Lord. They just want to have an ear to hear, dear Lord. They just want to hear your word, dear Lord. We pray that something was said, dear Lord, through the word of God, dear Lord, from Pastor Carter's short Bible study, dear Lord, how he was sure what does says the Lord, dear Lord, from our Tuesday night prayer circle, dear Lord, how we were going before you, dear Lord, and petitioning heaven on your people's behalf. Dear Lord, thank you. Dear Lord, as we get ready to close out, we ask you to be with each and every one of us. Let us have a safe and blessed day to day, dear Lord. Let us be a blessing to someone, and let someone be a blessing to us. Keep us lifted and build up in unity, dear Lord. Let no weapon formed against us prosper. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You've been listening to Free on the Inside, a weekly internet program, to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. We're here every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Amen. Think you're about to get-